How many of you have ever been trying to watch TV and someone starts vacuuming in the same room that you are trying to pay attention to the TV? Anybody? Anybody? A couple? A few? Oh, I knew it had to be. I knew it was. All right. Now, it's probably, in my house, like, it's probably me as the one that's like, turns the vacuum on. It's like, oh, you think you're going to watch that? No, just kidding. I'm not that devious about it most of the time. So anyways, how many of you who have more than one kid can remember a time when both of them wanted, or more than three or four, however many you may have, each of them wanted to tell you something at the same time. And you're going, stop. I can't focus. I can't just one at a time. It's like, because a lot of the moms, like, I'm a great multitasker, but when two people are trying to talk to you at two different, you just can't do it. It's just impossible to be able to focus and dial in, right? It's the chaos. How many of you notice that there are times in your lives where you just have chaos? How many of you go to work and you go, this is the most chaotic part of my week. This is crazy. Yeah, I knew you'd get it today. And, you know, the thing, like, life has a lot of chaos in it. And that's just kind of the way life is. And some weeks it's crazier than others. This has been a pretty, last couple weeks for me, I've been very chaotic. You know, you just feel like just trying to keep your head above water some weeks, you know, and just to get through it. And that's kind of been the last couple of weeks for me. Not complaining, it's just this, God's really put this together in a season where it's like, oh, you want to talk about it? Oh, let's see how you do going through it. So I appreciate that. God has a wonderful sense of humor. And it really does. It's phenomenal. And then let's put Christmas season on top of the normal chaos of life and the get-togethers, you know, the parties, the shopping. You think about setting a budget for Christmas and then you probably go over it and go, whoops, that went quick. And the chaos of, you know, family dynamics at gatherings where, you know, like, you're looking forward to going and it's going to be a good time, but you know, as soon as somebody brings up politics, there's that one family member that's going to just derail the evening. You know, it's just like, no, don't say a word. You know, you're at a time where you like, you eyeball other people in the room and you're just like, don't do it. Don't say it. Oh, and you said it and there it goes. There goes our evening. Just kidding. That probably never happens to anybody. Somebody knows that you're a Colts fan. And so what do they do? Well, they're just like, oh, I know they're going to, I'll just wear my Patriots gear today. Oh, they're a Cardinals. They're a Cardinals fan. Oh, I want my red stuff today. You know, it's like, oh, they like IU. Oh, I'll make sure I wear my UK stuff today or vice versa, right? Kind of thing. Or Purdue, right? So I'll wear my Purdue stuff, right? I'm trying to hit the ones that I know today. I'm thinking of who the fans are this morning. Yeah. And to be honest, like part of the chaos I didn't even think much about what in the holiday season is, you know, child custody. For those of you who have blended families and you think of normally when you would share visitation and then the holidays. And so trying to orchestrate parties and gatherings and, you know, it's outside of normal times and all that, you know, stuff. I mean, that's reality. And I'm sure a number of you know that, maybe with your kids or your grandkids, like that's a reality. And sometimes that can bring chaos to the holidays that you just would prefer wasn't there, but it is. And then you get the roller coaster ride of emotions. We talked some of that last week with grief for those that we miss that are not here with us during the holidays. And just some of the frustrations or the anxieties that want to creep in. I'm tired and I just haven't even barely gotten started this morning. Like just the reality, you know what I'm saying? Just the craziness of the holidays on top of life that's already chaotic enough at times. And so my thought that I want to share with us today in our series talking about prayer being God's gift to us is that prayer is God's gift inviting us into rest amid the chaos. Let's think about that for a second. That prayer is God's gift, inviting us into rest amid the chaos. Not just the holidays, but holidays is a great time to realize that prayer is that kind of gift to us. And so I thought I would share with you this morning just a couple thoughts to why that is the case. And one of them is that prayer is a great way to experience what I would call a sacred or holy rest. And before I just, you know, lose you, he used that word. I don't even know what that word means, and I'm lost, right? It's prayer is that time that we get to step up out of the craziness. You can tell I have a couple cats and at our house, and step out of that and into like a stillness, a quietness. You know that feeling of being able to just exhale? How good that can feel when you get in this chaotic moment and you can just take a moment and just... I think I did that last week too, didn't I? But doesn't it feel good? It does feel good. At least it does for me. That when we can step aside to pray, it's a way for us to sort of exhale and just to rest in the goodness of God. And that makes it sacred, because it's not about you, it's about God. That you can just sort of stop. And a lot of us need to just stop, because we go 90 to nothing? You just need to stop. I'm not saying quit going to work and don't help around the house. Pastor said, I need to stop, honey. I can't do nothing today. You know, no, Pastor did not say that. But a lot of us, including myself, know that we overextend ourselves too much. And then we go, I don't have time, man. I don't have time to do this in my life. And it's God's like, you have just as much time as everybody else in the history of humanity. You have 24/7. It's just how you're using your time, right? And if you take that time for prayer, prayer can be a wonderful gift, because it can act as a time for sacred rest, to just sort of sit, calm, exhale. And that's really the heart of God. You know, back in Exodus, let me preach the entire book of Exodus for a second, and then I'm not going to do that. But in Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments, and the fourth commandment is Sabbath. And God talks about the need for his people to have this rhythm of work and rest. Go, 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 go. That's cool. I created you to work, cultivate, man. But you've got to have time for sacred rest, where it's not about you, it's about me. Like, I know it's all to be about God. I get all that. But a time where you can just slow down and say, God, thank you for being so good. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you have given me. Thank you that when I felt I was out to dry, nope, Lord, you refreshed me. Thank you, Lord. I thought it was all done. I thought there wasn't a hope. I thought it was at the finish line. Nope, but God, you had other plans. And you brought together what felt like was no longer going to be a possibility. Time to just say, thank you, God, for being God. And this is something that God knows is good for us, and he really wants us to have that rhythm where we take that seriously in our lives. Now, what I want to say to you today, I'm not going to preaching about Sabbath on, you know, whatever day that might be for folks, not getting all that, but the concept that God understands that you and I are better people when we take time to rest. And prayer is a way for us to be able to step out of the chaos, to get away for a little bit, and just to turn off stuff, just relax, and just be. Talk to God. Listen to God. Sit in solitude with God. Don't say a word. Maybe. Focus on Scripture. Take a time for sacred rest. Moses goes up on the mountaintop to be with God, just himself. And Daniel goes up on a rooftop, just himself, and he prays, be with God. The Apostle Peter goes up on a rooftop and prays to God. Jesus often got away to a quiet place, to a hillside, to a mountain, and he would, can you guess? He would pray, right? He would take that time to be with the Father. He knew that life was full of chaotic distractions that were just part of life, right? But people were pulling on his emotions. They were pulling on it. They wanted his attention. They wanted him to be teaching them and so much. I mean, how many of you can relate to life trying to pull so much from you in so many different directions every single day? Am I the only one? Probably not. It's a battle every day, isn't it? Every single day. Prayer is a way for us to set a boundary in our day to incorporate the rhythm of rest in the midst of all the chaos. That's a gift from God. I was thinking, Jesus, man, pop culture sometimes is just crazy, right? The way it describes in your head. And I'm thinking, man, when you read the Gospels, Jesus just had so much pulling at him, and he would get frustrated. I mean, he did. You can read it. It's in the Gospels. You can find it. It's obvious. And I keep thinking Jesus would be told to be like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. Like, so I'm not gonna try to sing that today, right? I was like, I don't want to do that, but I have to because that's hilarious. That sense of, you know, you just, the chaos of it here. So check this out. What does Jesus do? So let me just like teach for a moment here. Like, so Jesus is there on the land with everybody, and he wants to rise up. So he goes on the mountaintop. So that mountaintop is symbolic of drawing up above the chaos, which is upon the earth. Yes, God is often had met Moses on a mountaintop, right? That in the ancient Near Eastern culture, that's what they believed, that the gods dwelled on the mountaintops, right? And so it's part of it's important that God meets Moses on a mountaintop. And something that Jesus, what does he do? He's fully man, fully God. Where does he go? He goes on a mountaintop to pray, to spend time with God, right? Jesus knew it was important to take a time, a rhythmic time, to get away and to be with God. And I usually don't ever use a statement, but I'll use it today. If Jesus thought it was important and he needed to get away and have rest with God, to talk to him, to hear from his Father, wouldn't it also be important that his creation need the same experience? Because as he was fully God, he was also fully man. And he knew in his humanity that he needed that time to be with his Father. Granted, the Spirit of God is with you through your salvation. God is with you every single day. I get that. But I also know that if you just spend your day just in the rhythm of your day, it is very easy to forget about that presence of God and to get so trapped up in the demands of your day. I'm guilty of that. I know it's true. That's one of the things that I wrestle with, because I'm way bad about putting too much in my calendar and saying, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. And there's things that I need to say no to. So be patient with me. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Maybe we'll figure it out together. What do you say? All right, fair enough. On that one. So let me give you a second reason. So only, I'm just going to give you two today. We'll keep it simple, which is if you and I spend sacred time rest with God, the promise of God is that God promotes our well-being, that he's working for our good. And one of the great ways that that's going to actually happen is when we're taking that time and spending it, setting it aside for God. Moses goes on the mountaintop. For those of you that are familiar with the stories of Moses, can you remember when Moses would come down from the mountaintops, the narrative says that there was something unique about the way that he looked when he came down after being with God in the mountaintop. Does anybody remember? And if you're worshiping with us online, if you remember that, type that in the comments for us today. Does anybody remember that? What? Why? There was a sort of radiant, maybe sort of thing that people noticed, like, holy moly. That's not actually in the Bible, Mark, holy moly. But they noticed this about him and would say, wow, like you're different after being with God than you were before. It's just tremendous. Prayer is really communion with God in its simple form. It made a difference. Communion with God made a difference in Moses. So much that people actually noticed that when they saw him after he had had those experiences. You ever heard that saying, never put hungry lions in a den, in a den with a praying man? Daniel in the lion's den. Talk about chaos. Woo, you say, no, it wasn't chaotic, man. God shut those lions' mouths. They did. I understand. What if I put you in a den with a bunch of hungry lions? What do you think is one of the first things in your flesh you're going to be worrying about? I'm going to be lunch. Like this, right? You know, I mean, kind of thing. God promotes the well-being of Daniel in that chaotic moment. And Job's chaos loses his family, man. Horrible. I can't even begin to fathom how bad that is. And he holds on to and he prays his faith to God and he has a conversation with God and God blesses his future. God had promoted his well-being. Jesus goes to the mountain and he prays. And then he comes down and he picks the 12 disciples, right? Saul had been blinded by God on the road to Damascus, and there he is. He's waiting. God said, go and wait. And God has Ananias to go to him. And the one thing I love about that story is that God says, Ananias, go. Ananias is like, you got to be all out of your mind. No. He's like, no, go, because he's praying. Because Saul is praying. You go. It's okay. I got you. Disciples imprisoned. They're praying. God sets them free. I mean, you just find so many times where God promotes the well-being of the people that are leaning into their faith in him. It's the reality of having a relationship with God. If you ever question, is it worth praying? Like, I never see anything kind of happen. I don't know. I'll just go ahead and say it's worth taking time to pray and to rest in God and to trust that I don't know how it's going to play out. And it may not even play out completely in my favor as I want it to. But I trust that God has the authority and he has the power to do in me what he wants to do in me. And really, whether that fully happens or not, that's not the point. The point is that God could because he's God and I'm not. And therefore, I'll worship God in the chaos. I'll worship God in the storm. I'll worship God in the uncertainties and I'll worship him in my anxieties. I will worship him when fear looks me dead in and I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm still going to worship him and I'm going to praise him and I'm going to seek his face and I'm going to lean into him because I know that scripture says that if you lean into God, God will lean into you. Those who draw near to him, he draws near to them. I don't have anything to worry about because in the end, if I draw near to God, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on home. I've prepared a buffet for you and it's full of everything you'd like to eat. I probably said that because it's getting closer to lunch. My experiences, and I have so much to learn and grow, but one of the things that I'm learning through prayer is that when we take that time, we get refreshed, you know? So this is my argument to go, is it worth it really? Should I? Yeah. And here's why I would say, yeah, like do it. Take that time, set it aside. Because it's a time where God refreshes us from within. So much of life drains us. But God is a life-giving God. And his grace is a life-giving force, power, love. When the things that we are so torn and pulled to do, just take. God says, sit with me so I can refresh you. Let me pour life-giving waters. Drink from what I give you. We get to receive from God versus so much of the striving to just acquire the stuff and the things and meet other people's expectations. We just get a time to step aside and just receive God's blessing. As I got you. I can take care of you. Just sit with me for a while. Mary and Martha. All she's doing is sitting up there and just not doing nothing. And here I am trying to fix all this stuff and get it ready to go. And would you tell her that she is off her rocker and that she has to get up and help? This is ridiculous. And Jesus says, lunch is good, but eating of the word that I give her is more important right now. It's okay that the work gets done, but it's also okay that you stop and you just sit and just be with me. Both are good. Both are needed. That one always hits me a little close to home because I'm that busybody, as my family would attest, no doubt. And one thing I like about taking that time to rest is that we get to like refocus. God helps, not we do, but God helps us to refocus our attention versus all the distractions that want to say, look here, squirrel. Watch this video. Watch this next video. Check out this. Somebody's post on Snapchat, right? And all this other kind of stuff. Look at this and look at this and look at this. And hey, go do this and go do that. And hey, wouldn't this be fun? Like, hey, you need to attend this and da-da-da. And you go, holy cow, like, where's my time to breathe in all of this? Yeah. Like, I totally get that. And I love because God needs to refocus our attention. And what happens to me is when I try to do that and God, without saying it, God's so cool because he can like say something without saying it. It's like, you make no sense. But it's amazing. Like God, when I take that time to rest, like when I'm in the chaos, right? And I know I'm going down a wrong path. Like you can just tell. You know what I'm talking about? Like you can just tell when you get so wrapped up in yourself and you start to kind of get distant from God a little bit. And you knew what it was like when you were close. And then you're starting to kind of drift a little bit. And you kind of have done it enough where you just know. And God, it's like without even saying it, like when you take that time and you stop, it's like, it's better with me, isn't it? I don't know how he does that. He just in the gentleness of our heart, and my heart just reminds me, it is better with me, isn't it? The other things promise good stuff. They can't give you what I'll give you. If you're going to keep looking to the world to fill your appetite, you will always be hungry. Always. Because they can never give you everything that I've created you to have. Only I can give you that. See, it is better with me, isn't it? And I go, man, you're right again. He's always right. He always knows what's good for us. That's one of the things that I love. He refocuses our attention and also reminds us and teaches us that the world doesn't fall apart when we stop to be with God. Sometimes we are so afraid to actually stop and spend time with God, because if we do, we think that our world is going to fall apart. Now all the plates are going to fall. Faith says, Lord, I want to choose to stop and trust that you are sovereign over all the plates that are spinning. Stressing isn't helping. if this like hits home with anybody else. It surely does me today. When I think of all of this, I think when I first started this whole thing topic for today, I was right there, Matthew 11, verse 28, and it's where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You ever heard that verse before? Yeah. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, for you Bible students out there, if you go read that chapter, you'll see that it's really talking about rest being about salvation. People that aren't believing in Jesus' true identity. And he's making a promise. If you believe, you'll find salvation and peace and rest in him. But when we understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, who happens to also be a healer, a savior, one who transforms, one who renews us from within, we understand who he truly really is, then we can also look at that verse and see that Jesus is promising to give us rest deep within our soul, within the core of who we are. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus is not saying in this passage too. Jesus is not saying that he will take away all the chaos. I've heard it before that I prayed and it didn't go away. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. Apparently, God must not answer prayer. I've heard that before. Jesus doesn't promise to take the chaos away. He promises to give us peace amid the chaos. He says, "Father, I'm not asking that you take him out of the world. I'm just asking that you be with him in the world. I'm not asking you to fix every problem they have and answer every need, prayer, like, I want this, I want that, I want, like, no, I'm just, Lord, would you just be with them in their needs, provide, sustain them, guide them, refresh them, restore them, provide what they need, give them things they need they don't even know they need. And when they want stuff they think they need, don't give it to them, because you know that's not truly what they need." For me, prayer is a chance to just step aside and just exhale and experience God's peace amid the chaos. I really believe that God has given us prayer as a way to rest up under his grace, to experience healing under his wings, to take Old Testament reference there. I firmly believe that prayer is a wonderful time to really to be able to experience God's work in us. God wants what's good for you. I know sometimes when life isn't going the way that you want, you wonder if God really wants what's good for you. And if he's actually working for your good, because it's not happening on your timetable. I've wrestled with that myself a time or two. God, if you were good, you would not have taken them from my life. God, if you were good, you would have spared them. God, if you were good, you would have given me this. God, if you were good, I wouldn't have lost my job. God, if you were good, the students wouldn't have bullied me at school. Or bullied me online. God, if you were truly, God, if. You can always keep putting something in there. But God's intent with prayer is for us to go, "Pops, Daddy, Abba, Father, Holy God, life is not where I wish it was right now. And I'm tired and I'm run down right now and I'm tired of it. And I'm sick and tired of the way I'm being treated by the people in the world that I can't get away from because I go to school with them. I go to work with them. I don't know. I don't know, God, what the answer is to this right now. Because I don't know how to fix it. And I don't know what my next step is. Because I feel like it's just lost, or I don't see how that my wish could actually, that door could actually open. God, I don't know. There's just so many I don't knows. So Lord, the only thing I know to do in the midst of all the I don't knows is just to inhale grace and exhale worship. For those of you who are guests, that's a phrase I like to use here at New Hope. It's just that simple, that idea of just sort of taking in the truth of what we know about God and the goodness of God and his great love for us. And just take all that in and just exhale. God, I trust you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just got to trust you. And if you could shut the mouths of lions, I'm sure you can handle right now. And if people that held stuff against Moses, if they could see that he had been with you, I hope those people that hold stuff against me can see that I spend time with you. And would you just fight that battle, God? Because I can't fight it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill that's coming up. I don't know. But God, your word says you are the cattle on a thousand hill. You're the creator of all. So the only thing I know I could rightly do is just say, Lord, would you provide? You handle it. Because I know there is not enough working that I could do on my job or beyond my job to handle this. You're going to have to handle it. And I'm going to choose to trust you to handle what concerns me today. There's something about that kind of prayer. If you step aside, take your phone. Oh, I didn't even have mine on me, which is probably a good thing. Just set it down. Turn it off. Turn it upside down. Set it aside. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Turn the vacuum off. Just kidding. If you're joining us late, that was a reference to the beginning. Just rest. Make time to just get away with God. And maybe it's 5 minutes. I don't know. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 3. But just take that time to just set aside and just rest. And just say, God, I'm yours. Would you work on me by the power of your grace? Please keep promoting my well-being because I know that that's what you do and I know that's what you want. And so I'm going to trust you. And I'm just going to give you praise and thanks in advance because I know it's going to turn out for your glory. Amen. Amen.